Hi, folks. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Thanks for being patient with our technical difficulties. I am back on the line with Nico Sanguinetti from the Juno Douglas City Museum, or just known as the City Museum. Hi, Nico.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for being patient with me today.
No problem.
But luckily, we still have plenty of time to talk today about everything that's going on at the City Museum. So you're the curator of exhibits and collections, and I believe you're talking to me from your office today. Is that right?
That is correct.
Are you back at work full time now?
Yes, we actually were the minority in that we never really left. So our director got redeployed to another department in the city. And so there were only just three of us working here. And we do have three floors at the City Museum. So we actually were able to social distance the whole time.
Wow. Okay. So you never got the opportunity to really work from home. You've just been there the whole time. I was going to ask you, how does it feel to be back at work? But I guess it feels pretty normal.
Pretty normal. The collection storage area is in the basement. So I've just been holed up in my basement pretty much for quite some time.
I hope that's a little more fun than what it sounds like.
Yes, it's a fun basement, not nearly as scary as you would think.
Well, I know that we have a lot to talk about, new exhibits, reopening, and things like that. But I did want to mention that I have enjoyed the videos that you've been posting, I think from that same basement. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep.
Yeah. The ones on Facebook and YouTube as well. They're very interesting and entertaining, and you look like you're having a lot of fun making them.
That's great. That's what we were going for. Definitely when everything started, we were, like most people, I think, scrambling a little to figure out how we could still engage with our community. And we came up with this video series because as a curator of collections and exhibits, I'm the one that spends most of my time with the collections objects and the rest of the staff doesn't. And even those who come to visit, the objects that are on display is such a small fraction of what we have in our collections that don't always get to be seen by people or have their stories told. So we thought it would be a little bit more fun to bring people behind the scenes and show them a little bit more about what we have in our collections. And I'm obviously a big history person, so I get to kind of geek out and be really excited and talk about all the nerdy things that I love so much in my job.
Some might say nerdy, some might say, you know, super interesting. It's all relative.
Definitely. And I would hope that we're able to engage with a few people that might have thought before that maybe history is a little bit boring or your museums are a little bit stuffy. So we're hoping to bring a few more people into the fold and to realize that it's a lot of storytelling and a lot of interesting things can come out of these objects, which is what I'm so passionate about.
Absolutely. The most recent video I think that I saw was the one where you did the object reveal and it ended up being a mouse trap. So I thought that one was really cool. And also probably challenging for those who are trying to figure it out before the reveal. Well done on that one. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Thank you. That one was actually really fun in that the trap itself actually has a stuffed mouse in there, but we pulled it out to make it a little bit more challenging for people. And one of the fun things about these object reveals is we'll post the pictures a day or two in advance, and so people have time to guess. And with some of them, it's really hard to guess their size. I don't put any type of scale in there because part of the fun is throwing people off the scent and really going to what extreme this object could be. And so a lot of people were guessing along the lines of crab pots or fish traps mm-hmm. or things like that, but nobody came up with a mouse trap until you see me in the video and people were like, oh, it's really small. And I think that was a little bit of the fun is that gotcha moment of like, yes, it was quite small.
It definitely looked like a fish trap for sure, but scaled down a lot. And what's the story with the stuffed mouse?
I believe it's actually from one of the previous curators, Ellen Carley, who is now the conservator down at the State Museum. And she has a little bit more of a personal story with how it came to be part of the collection. I believe it was some training that she did actually outside the museum and it came back and just went perfectly with the mousetrap.
It really does. Well, I like that one a lot. Did you have a video? Is there a video that you've done in these recent months that's posted that was a particular favorite for you or that you think is particularly good?
I think my favorite is, well, a couple. We've been doing different types of videos. So some are historic sites that we're actually going to, some are objects in the collection, some are kind of interesting history tidbits. And so I really liked going to the House of Wickersham and talking a little bit about the house, as well as St. Nicholas, the Orthodox church here in town, because to be honest, I've been dying to go inside that church for so long, and then to be able to go in there and talk a little bit about the history and its importance to the community was so great. And then from a personal side as well, I really enjoyed doing the Tin Can Day video, which is this, it's posted really recently, but it's this very interesting event that happened in 1912 over on Douglas, which the goal was to clean up and beautify the town and the island in general. And the way that it happened is so fascinating. So I think that might be one of my favorites.
All right. Well, those are great picks. So if folks are wanting to go and check those out, haven't seen them already, that's a great place to start. Will you continue this video series, do you think, into the future?
That's our plan. We'd like to keep doing them. We've got plenty of material. As always, it's the time to do the research and prepare, and we're hoping eventually to get slightly better technology, because if you'll notice, what we're working with, early steps were done on a phone, and then and we have a photo camera that we use around the museum for collections, and so it does have a video function. We've been working with that lately. So hopefully it'll expand and grow and become slightly more professional. But at the moment, we're enjoying doing a little bit more of a really behind the scenes, peeled back video series. So that is the plan. I hope to keep doing it.
All right, great. Yeah, because we're kind of like we're reopening, but I think a lot of folks will still be hunkering down, and it's going to be, I just feel like this new mix of like online life and real life, you know,
Definitely,
that
definitely.
people will be tuning, you know, people will be experiencing a bit of both. But speaking of reopening, the museum is in fact reopening this Friday. And I know you're going to talk about COVID mitigation and safety and your hours. But I did notice that you're opening this Friday, and it happens to be First Friday. So tell me a little bit about how all of that is going to look.
Definitely. So as everyone has been experiencing, times are a little bit different. And so we're opening for the foreseeable future. We're going to be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday every week. So both days on the weekends, our hours are going to be the same as our winter hours. So it's going to be 10 to 4 those 4 days. And the goal is to be closed for 3 days. The suggestion is to have those 3 days to let anything that has been brought into the museum to let it die off and then restart fresh at the beginning of the week. We are going to have new plastic sheets up in certain areas, and then a lot of our hands-on material is going to be removed or blocked off just because we want to encourage people to not touch as much as usual, which is normally the complete opposite of what we want, but needs must these days. And the city council or city assembly has passed that masks are required to be worn in the museum, and we will encourage people to continue to social distance. So again, our museum is, we're not large, but we're not tiny, so there's a fair amount of space for people to move around in. So hopefully everyone will just be a bit conscientious, like most people have been in town. So we're just going to keep following those guidelines. Oh, yeah. And go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that all sounds really reasonable. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And that's our hope. We don't want to do anything crazy, but of course, we want to make sure that we're protecting our staff and our volunteers and then any visitors that come in. So we're just following the guidelines as set forth by the City Assembly and the state as a whole. So we're just going to be following those guidelines and asking those who come in to visit to do the same. And we will be having a First Friday. Unfortunately, we won't be having any food, again, following those new guidelines. But we still encourage people, even if there is no food and you're feeling like going out, to please stop by. Again, masks are asked to be worn, but we are opening our new exhibit, which is a quite large exhibit that has been a long time in the making, and we're pretty excited about it. So hopefully people will come and visit.
That is great. And yeah, let's talk about the exhibit. It's the Funter Bay exhibit. And before we get into the details. Not that long ago, though it feels like quite a long time ago, February 20th, you were here at KTOO and took part in a conversation on Juno Afternoon. Christina Love was the host, and you all spoke with family members of people who were interned at Bunter Bay on Admiralty Island during World War II. What was your takeaway from being part of that conversation?
I think that this entire project has just been so eye-opening, and the folks that were able to come down from St. Paul and St. George to be part of this project, and they have been participating at distance for quite some time, but to be able to come here and be here in person, I mean, it's very difficult to get to and from the Pribilofs, and even though we have great technology nowadays, to have people be here in person and actually give us feedback on things that we've been working on and to see the space was just incredibly crucial and so wonderful. And everyone who came, they have, you know, huge investment in this story because it's their family members, it's their story, it's the story of their people. And we wanted to make sure that we honored that by hearing what they wanted to be told and what was important to them. And that's what we're hoping to reflect in this exhibit. So it was just wonderful that they were able to come and spend, they actually spent a full week with us, and it was just fabulous. Wonderful, wonderful.
And that's a fundamental part of the exhibit. Would you like to tell us a bit more about what people will see and experience when they come on Friday?
Definitely. I know the last time that I was on the radio with you, we talked a lot about the history of this particular event, so I won't go too deep into it. But the exhibit is meant to kind of take people who may not know this story and lead them a little bit through the experience, sort of through the eyes of the folks who lived it. So we do have a couple of areas that have more traditional displays where there are just general panels with information. But for the most part, we've really tried to take our regular exhibit game and take it to the next level. So we have a large amount of hands-on is not the correct term these days, but a bit more immersive elements. The idea is to try and transport people as much as possible from the Pribilofs down here to Southeast Alaska and then back home during and follow the story of these people who were forcibly removed from their islands and kept against their will here in Southeast Alaska for a few years during World War II. So a lot of what we have are images and quotes from people who were actually there. And then we've worked with a couple of contractors, with Jeffrey Tholey and Sarah Asper-Smith with Exhibit AK, to really build some interesting things inside the museum. And don't want to give too much away, but we definitely have some new structures inside our building that we're hoping that people will enjoy.
Oh, that sounds really exciting. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with me today. And again, I found great information about what's going on at the City Museum on the website and the Facebook page and even on YouTube. The videos and all that are great, but I think that this Funter Bay exhibit is going to be really exciting for folks to come out and see this Friday starting at, is it 4:30?
4:30, yep, and we will be open till 7 o'clock. And we're really looking forward to sharing this with people. It's just one of those stories that I know people do know what happened, but the vast majority of people that I've spoken to just have never heard about it. So we're really excited to bring a story that may not be as well known to the public and to really have it here at the Juno Douglas City Museum.
I know that it was a long time in the making for you at the museum. And was this the original date that the exhibit was set to open, or wasn't it supposed to be a bit earlier in the year?
It was meant to be a little bit earlier in the year. It was meant to be for the first Friday in May. This project really, I mean, I got started in December of 2018, so it's been in the works for quite some time, but the folks who have been involved with this Funter Bay project here in Juno, a few of them have been pushing this really for over 5 years now, and so there's this great team that's been working here in Juno for a good chunk of time, and then recently we've been able to connect with people in the APIA and St. Paul and St. George and other places along the Aleutian chain as well. We have people in Unalaska that we've been working with, and it's just been this amazing group dynamic that has pushed this forward. And one of the main things with this story was having a place to express it in a way that could be easily digestible to people that may not have heard of it before. And I mean, unfortunately, this summer, we're not going to be having the tourists that we were expecting, but on a normal year, we'd be exposing a large amount of visitors to this story that is so uniquely Alaskan and really unknown to the greater United States at large. And even globally. So it's something that we were really passionate about sharing, and having these partners that we've been working with, especially up north on St. Paul, that it's just been absolutely crucial and a wonderful experience to be able to kind of act as the voice for people who are just a little bit too far away at the moment. And we have huge goals in the hopes that this exhibit will eventually travel, and we're working on creating some kind of digital version so that way it can be used in more far-flung places and as more of an educational tool in the future. So we're really trying to take a traditional exhibit and make it a little bit greater than we normally do. So bear with us as we grow and expand, and definitely throughout the course of the summer, new things will be coming online with the exhibit. We've got some a touch table in the making and some more things that are going to be coming online as we move forward, because as you mentioned, we were meant to be opening a month ago, but with everything that happened, we just thought it was best to postpone it. And there was even talk about canceling it or postponing it for a full year. So I'm quite happy that we were able to get it out and up in the time that it is now. So at least we have it. It's going to be a work in progress. So we're excited to share that with the community.
Well, Nico, I can, your excitement, your enthusiasm is absolutely contagious. And I hope that folks will come and check it out starting this Friday, this first Friday, as we come back from our hunker down status. I just can't think of a better way to reopen the museum and introduce this exhibit to the public. Nico Sanguinetti, thanks so much for speaking with me today. Lots of luck with the opening this weekend, and thanks again so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye, Nico.
Definitely. Bye.